Good morning, everyone. Now, folks, I had anticipated to spend two Sundays in a row just enjoying sitting in the congregation. But things change, and Brother Pat's sick, and we need to pray for him. That being said, I do appreciate the opportunity to worship together, and I ask that you continue to pray for me throughout this service. I want to talk to you about what I consider to be a deep subject. And it's incumbent upon us all. It's about living by faith. You know, we're just now starting a new year, and already we've seen a lot of changes. As we look back over the entirety of 2022, there was a world of changes that I think most people would never have expected to have come our way. And folks, we need faith to live our lives properly. I read in our opening scripture that the just shall live by faith. Throughout all the scriptures, we are admonished and told to be strong in our faith and trusting in God. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to turn to a story that you all know very well, but I think it's very fitting because it's the epitome of living by faith. Now, Sister Dale commented on my tie. It's got old classic cars on it. And I told her I wore this for a purpose. And maybe I'm different. My wife tells me I'm odd. I told her when we first got married that I'm unique. There's a difference. But I like old classic things because it harkens me back to a time period where I feel like that the world was a better place. You know, old cars seem to be distinct and they had their own individual character. Our nation as a whole, it seems like as we go back a little ways, had more character. The church was strong in the community. And that character was influenced throughout our daily society, I believe. So it gives you comfort to sometimes think back on those things that we consider to be old classics. Old hymns, Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, Holy, 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 Victory in Jesus, whatever is dear to you, these are old classic songs, and they give you comfort. And sometimes these old comforting thoughts give us strength and invigorate us and help us with our faith. And so I'm going to be turning to this old classic story, something that you all know very well, but I'm going to try to pull out some aspects of it that perhaps you haven't considered in a long time. We'll do a lot of reading this morning, and then we're going to stop. I'm going to insert some things, and hopefully the Lord will bless us by the end of the service to see how good He is to all of us and how He is worthy for us to put our faith and our trust in our Father above. I want to share just a couple of scriptures with you before we turn. These are found in the New Testament. Have you ever struggled to define what faith is? Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verse 1 and 6, and you don't have to turn there, but you may know this by memory better than I do. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Folks, I want to put in a little something here. We saw so many changes this past year. Let me read the passage again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just this past year, Sister Kathy lost her mom. Brother Terry lost his dad. And Brother Clay just lost Sister Frances. Life changes. It changes all the time. Where is our faith? You see, Sister Kathy's mom and Mr. Lyles, Terry's dad, and Sister Frances, they don't have to live by faith anymore. They are seeing their faith. Their faith is realized. You see, verse 6 of this passage in Hebrews tells us, without faith it is impossible to believe Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And now, Sister Frances, Sister Kathy's mom, Mr. Lyles, they are living out that reward. They don't have to live by faith anymore, for now they see. But we don't see right now, do we? We're still here on this earth, and as Paul described, we see through a glass darkly. We have to live by faith. Folks, you can't make it through life very well. You'll be tossed to and fro if your faith is not strong. So as we face 2023, we're all different. How do you face it? Some people have the demeanor that they say, look at what great potential lies ahead. Who knows what abundant blessings the Lord will bring to us? Others are more of a worrying type of nature, and they struggle, and they say, well, I don't know. They're apprehensive about changes that may come. You see, we're all different. And that's the thing about worshiping God. It all boils down to you. We all have our personal relationship with the Lord. We all have our struggles, don't we? I can't say what struggles you may have right now. We all have our giants to face, hurdles to overcome. Whatever they may be, bring them to the Lord in prayer and know that God cares for you. He promises that He is with us always. Trust in the Lord. Jeremiah tells us, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And folks, that's where we should be this morning. That's what should be your sustaining strength as we go into 2023. And remember this one passage. At least I find it gives me comfort. It's an old classic too. It's found in Deuteronomy 31. And this is a newer translation because I want it to be very simple. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And folks, we need to hold on to God's promises. He is always with us. No matter what 2023 holds in store for us, no matter what you're facing, God is with us. And we should gain comfort from that. We should gain confidence from that. And we should move forward boldly in faith, remembering that the very faith that we have is a gift from God. Now, folks, let's turn back to this old classic story. Turn with me to the book of Samuel, chapter 17 in the Old Testament. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you, Samuel was a prophet of Israel. Samuel chapter 1, or excuse me, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Samuel was the prophet, and he served with both King Saul and King David. And today is a story of David and Goliath, a literal giant. As we read through this today, I want to ask you to do your best to insert yourself into this story. Try to be a part of what we read and imagine how you would feel at this day and time. The story of David and Goliath. There's a lot of background here. It involves Saul, it involves David, it involves faith, it involves the army of Israel and the Philistines. Again, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of this because of the brevity of time. I'm going to actually start reading in verse 3. But to summarize, the Philistines and the Israelites had gathered together and they were about to have battle. And there was a valley that separated them. They stood on one side on a mountain and the Philistines on the other. And this is where we start reading in verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now folks, I want to stop for just a moment. We've all know the story of Goliath. He was a giant person. When you translate what they say, how tall he was, 6 cubits and a span, that's 9 feet and 9 inches tall. Now, we've got tremendous basketball players. The tallest modern our man in modern history, I believe in the early part of last century, I can't pronounce his name, but it's something Waldriff. He was 8 feet and some inches tall. He could barely walk. He was so deformed. But Goliath stood 9 feet 9 inches tall. Now, there is a little bit of discrepancy. Some other people take a different view. But the vast majority of research substantiates this. 9 feet 9 inches tall. Other parts of history says he had 6 fingers and 6 toes. He was a giant in every term. But even with some dispute as exactly how tall he was, there is no dispute about the next few passages. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. That's the same type of chain mail that knights wore later on in history. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Folks, that's 125 pounds. That's how heavy the chain mail was that Goliath wore. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. Now, to summarize this about Goliath, whatever his height was, I'm going to stick to the 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had approximately 150 plus pounds of armor on, including his chainmail, his helmet, and the greaves that guarded his legs. He had a spear. Spears were commonly, at minimum, the height of the person. So I'm going to say a 10-foot long spear. And on the end of that spear was a spear point that weighed 15 pounds. Now, all of the men here in the congregation most likely have picked up a sledgehammer, a 16-pound sledgehammer on about a 3-foot handle. Well, you just take that 16-pound sledgehammer and put it on the end of a 10-foot beam, and you get an idea of how incredibly powerful this man was, how athletic he had to be able to fight with 150 pounds of armor on him. That's who Goliath was. How would you feel if that man came waltzing into this church? Would you be intimidated? Would you be afraid? Let's continue reading and ponder that. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11. When Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want to insert something here. You see, there's so much going on in this story. Saul was the king. Saul was, if not the tallest, one of the tallest people in all of Israel. He was the leader of Israel. He was a warrior too. Most people would say Saul should be the one going out and fight this battle. But it says they were all greatly afraid. Here Goliath is coming down from their side of the mountain where all the army is and taunting Israel and saying, just bring a champion out. No reason for the armies to fight. If I beat your champion, you serve us. If he beats me, we serve you. And all of Israel was greatly afraid. Now this story here makes a transition. We get a description of David starting in verse 12. And David was a son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. In other words, Jesse was an older man. He had 8 children. And the 3 eldest sons went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, and David fed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now verse 16. And the Philistine, being Goliath, drew new morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Now I want you to consider that for just a moment. The army is camped out here for 40 days, twice a day, morning and night. Goliath comes and taunts them. How humiliating that must have been. What did the Israelites think of the leader, of their king Saul? Where was a warrior to represent Israel? You know, I don't know why this is. Perhaps Brother Jimmy or Brother Pat can tell us. This occurred for 40 days. 40 seems to be the interval number that things are tested in. There are trials. It rained for 40 days when God flooded the earth. Noah was in that ark. For 40 days with it raining. The Israelites, because of their disobedience, wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he was there for 40 days. Whatever the reason is, 40 days Goliath came out and taunted the Israelites. That's a long time to wear on you, if you think about it. If you put yourself there, and you have this giant coming down twice a day for 40 days to intimidate and to taunt and hurl insults, and the Israelites were just standing there. You see, they were being tested. You know, folks, we're tested in our lives too. We all have our trials. Sometimes it's a short duration. Sometimes it may be a very long duration. We don't know. One certainty I can tell you, though, for 2023 is that we will have our trials. We're going to have our battles. They may be short. They may be long. We may have giants that we face too. So I want to ask you, where will you go for comfort and guidance and strength? Will you go to God in prayer? That's what the Word tells us to do. Matter of fact, in James, we read the following. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing. To put that in my own words, when we face our trials and tribulations and struggles, we all can look back in our life and look at them. And remember, God saw us through them. We need to thank God for those hard times because they help to mold your character and make you the person you are and to strengthen your faith to the point where you are today. Thank God in all things. Thank him for the hard times too. Thank him for those trials and testing that draw you closer to the Lord. They will come this year. You most likely will have a giant of some form to face in 2023. Now let's continue on. Now in our story, there's some timing that occurs here. Now David is about to be introduced. He was described earlier. Now he's going to be introduced into the battle. And I want you to recognize what's going on. We see God's intervention here. We see a trial, a test, which we've already described with David coming out. Goliath coming out and taunting Israel. They are being tested. They are being tried. And we see that. We see God's intervention. And I believe we see a demonstration of faith and the fulfillment of the scripture that we read earlier from Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, I want to give you one scripture first as a background. You see, Saul was king. But Saul had not been the best king. He had disobeyed God on more than one occasion. And God told Samuel, if you turn back a few pages to chapter 13, I'm going to read one scripture. God told Samuel the following, and Samuel told Saul this. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord thy God commanded thee. You see, Saul had been disobedient. And he wasn't going to be king anymore. And then if you turn over to chapter 15, I want to read a couple verses that describe this. Saul was commanded to face the Amalekites and to destroy them and destroy all their possessions. So he took the Israel army and he did destroy them. But he didn't destroy the possessions. I'm paraphrasing now. He brought them back. And Samuel's confronted him. And he says in verse 20, "And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Saul is lying to the prophet. The king of Israel is lying to the prophet. Folks, don't you just want a leader with a clean, pure heart that doesn't lie? He was supposed to be following God's commandments, and now he is lying to the very prophet himself. And he blames. We see that in our society today. Our leaders always put the blame on somebody else. They're never responsible. He says in verse 21, "But the people," see, he's blaming the people that he leads. "The people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to God, Gilgag. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord..." Listen to how Samuel describes this. King Saul has just made an excuse, blaming it on the people. And this is what Saul did, and this is how Samuel responded. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that the fats of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and he has also rejected thee from being king." Now we see a change in Saul. He drops the pretense. He's been discovered, and the lie doesn't hold water anymore. Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because..." Again, another excuse. "I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel." You see, folks, Saul failed the test of obedience on more than one occasion. He put other things before God. He wanted to please people. What is the one commandment that that Jesus said is the greatest? Jesus said, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We're facing a new year. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there should be nothing that comes before God. God comes first. Not your reputation, not the way other people perceive you, not pleasing people, not your material wants and desires. God comes first in obeying His voice and His commandments. Put Him first in your life. Saul didn't do that, and the kingdom was being taken away from him. So this is the background as we go into this battle with the Philistines. Perhaps this is going through Saul's mind. I don't know. But whatever the reason, Saul was cowardly. He wouldn't go out and face Goliath. And now David enters the picture. Starting in, again, I'm still in chapter 17, and that, but we are over now to verse 17. "And Jesse said unto David his son," and I'm going to paraphrase some of this because of our time this morning, "he's giving them corn and bread to take to his brothers, and he's giving cheese to bring to the captains of the Israelites. And he's saying, I want to hear a report. How is it going? How are your brothers?" He's being a good father. So he sends David. Now let's go to verse 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host," and this is Goliath, "was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion. Again, this is Goliath, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. In other words, the same taunt he was delivering over and over. And David heard it. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. You know, God had delivered the Israelites through so many battles. You have to ask, where was their faith? I can't answer that. But I feel like it was God's intervention, because he had a purpose for David. And folks, I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, he has a purpose for you too. God has a direct intervention in our lives on a daily basis. You have to believe and have faith in him. Believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, talking to David, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. This is what the general people are telling David. Now, David probably thought this was a little incredulous. In other words, whoever killed Goliath, the king would give him riches. He would give his daughter in marriage to him, making him part of the king's court. And his father's house would be free, meaning that they would never pay taxes. Sounds like a pretty good reward. I don't know that David believed it, because he starts asking around. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? In other words, the insults and the shame that Goliath was throwing on them. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? We haven't heard that phrase from anybody else yet. But from David we hear the phrase of the living God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. In other words, they're repeating what the other people had said. David's trying to verify it. And it's being repeated. And now it takes a little turn, verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might seest the battle. Now you might think that's a little bit unexpected. David was being obedient to Jesse, his father. And folks, I'll say this, sometimes we never know where our obedience to God will encounter resistance, in what way we may be tested. Sometimes even it's a family member. But who are you going to put first in your life? This opposition came from his older brother. And David said, verse 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Well, there was a cause. Goliath was insulting God. He was insulting the army. And the army was not moving. They were afraid. And he turned even towards another and spake after the manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. In other words, he's still trying to ask, what will happen to the person that kills this Philistine? And why hasn't anybody gone out to face him? Well, whatever David was responding back, in verse 31 we see, and the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed, in other words, they repeated them before Saul. And Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, now here David is before the king of Israel, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David's volunteering. He's speaking out. He can't believe that nobody else would have fought Goliath, but he's saying, I will go. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David was a teenager at this time. Saul's telling him, you can't do this. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You see, folks, David's looking back. And he's recognizing two things. God had delivered him from adversity in the past, and it was God who did it. He didn't say, I did it. He said, God did it. And he's giving God and acknowledging God is the author of it. And he's looking back where God has already been with him in his life. And we should be able to look back in our lives and see where God has been with us too. So as we face 2023, and you may be facing a giant, and I don't know your personal circumstances, but I know that God is with us. And that if you look back and see how he's supported you then, you should have faith to go forward today because he will support you then. God is always with us. And we need to praise God for his amazing grace that stands by us when we are weak. I encourage you, look back. Remember the times when God was so good to you. Perhaps just not in your life, even the lives of your other family members and friends. And praise God for his faithfulness to his people. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And I'm going to skip a couple passages too. Saul tried to arm David with his armor, but David refused it. He said, these aren't proven. He couldn't fight in them. He couldn't be encumbered. He was comfortable with what the Lord had blessed him with in the past. So verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. So you have Goliath, this 9-foot-9-inch tall giant, coming towards David, and there's a shield bearer that was common in the army at that time, went forward carrying the shield for Goliath. And David's going out armed with a sling and a staff. That's what's happening here. Again, how would you feel facing this 9-foot-9-inch tall giant with a sling? And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he had disdain for him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. In other words, David, he was a teenager. When it says fair complexion, he wasn't battle-scarred. He wasn't a warrior. And Goliath had disdain for him. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with a stick in your hand? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And folks, this is where I told you that there was a lot going on here. You see, this is a spiritual struggle too. You have the Philistine god Dagon, and all of the false gods that the Philistines and the surrounding people worshipped. And you have the living God of Israel, and David had already referred to this twice. Israel was the army of the living God. We face a spiritual struggle every day of our life. When we have doubts, when we have uncertainties, don't think that there's not a spiritual battle going on within your heart and whispering going on in your brain to doubt that God cares for you, to doubt that God will support you, to doubt that God will see you through. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We have to have faith. David had faith Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now let's see what happens. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, folks, it's always a spiritual struggle. And we have to remember, the battle is not ours. The battle is Jesus Christ. And he's already said, I have overcome the world. Our story is a story of victory through Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. The faith that drew you here to worship God this day identifies you as a child of God. The just shall live by faith. We need to live by faith. David was living by faith. Do you have the faith to commit your struggles to God? Can you let go of them and lay them on the table before him in sincerity with an open heart and pray, God, help me. Show me the way to go. Help me face my giants. Lead me in your ways. May your will be done. You see, that's putting your all on the line before the Lord, diligently seeking him. David was doing this, and he was giving God the credit already, for it was God who would do battle. And verse 48, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He was running straight into the battle, but he knew that the battle was the Lord's. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion dead, they fled. So folks, I just want to give this a little more description. David has just killed this giant with a sling and a stone. He slung it so fast with such accuracy that it hit him in the forehead and sunk into his forehead and killed him. David ran up to him. There he is lying on the ground, and he's so big he stands on top of him and draws out a sword to decapitate him. That's just what's happened. When the Philistine army saw it, they fled. And then verse 52, and the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sharaim, even unto Gath, which was Goliath's hometown, and unto Ekron. They pursued the Philistines and they killed them. I want you to think for just a moment. David acted. He stepped out in faith. And when David killed Goliath, the Philistines fled. And what happened next? Then the army acted and fled after them. You see, folks, sometimes all it takes is just one person to step out in faith, and then others will follow. We can't hide our faith under a bushel. You, as God's children, are the light of the world. That light needs to be seen. We need to live our faith daily for others to see it. And when we live our life with faith before God, you may just motivate somebody else to step out in faith too. The whole army stepped out in faith to pursue the Philistines. It only takes one person. It should be me. It should be you. It should be all of God's children. Committing 2023 to the Lord and willing to, no matter what struggles we face, what battles we have, what giants we face, to step out in faith. Because a battle belongs to the Lord. As we begin to close here, I want to share just a couple more scriptures with you. Insert them. This one you all, I believe, have memorized it. It's dear to most every primitive Baptist, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There again, the gift of faith. God doesn't give it to those people that are not his children, but he's given it to you. And there is a reason. He created you to do good works. Two of those good works we all share in common. One is to praise God with a grateful heart for the blessings in our lives, no matter where we are. In all circumstances, we should be praising God. And the second work is to be strong in our faith. Live our faith is a good work. Will you live your faith in 2023? Now let's finish and conclude our story. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. In other words, they went through the encampment of the Philistines and took as the rewards of war all the possessions that they could find. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor, in other words, Goliath's armor, he took and put in his own tent. And when Saul saw David going forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, who was the captain of the Israelite army, "Whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "He didn't know. I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire whose son this stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. What a sight. There David is, a teenager. And by the way, the average height, I forgot this earlier, but the average height of the person in Israel at that time, history tells us the average man stood between 5'4" and 5'6". That's the man who faced the giant. That's the man who's now carrying a giant-sized head in his hand to go back and see the king of Israel, Saul. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, young man?" And David answered and said, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." And that's where our story ends here. David slew Goliath. You see, David is called and described a man after God's own heart. Samuel called him that back in chapter 13. I read that to you. That God sought a man after his own heart, and he would be the captain of Israel. David was jealous for the reputation of God. He didn't like the God being insulted. It incited him to fight. How jealous are we of the reputation of our church, of all churches, but of God's Word? You see, folks, we face a spiritual battle. There's those that will always want to tear down the church, always want to tear down God. It's a spiritual battle. It's one we shouldn't be hesitant to take up. We have to live our faith. You know, folks, there are times in life when we just plain can't see. We don't know what struggles and battles lie before us in 2023. We don't know what battles and struggles may lay ahead of us just the rest of this afternoon. But we do know this. We know who gave us today. it was God. And that if we live our faith, He will see us through whatever struggles we may face. In closing, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, consider this as you face whatever struggles that you're dealing with right now. Whatever giants may be standing before you. Remember, number one, that the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours alone. He is always with you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are called according to His purpose." And then later on in chapter 8, Paul writes this to the Romans, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God loves you. He gave you this day, and He gave you the gift of faith. Folks, don't live your life in fear. Live your life trusting in God, because He promises that He is always with you. May God add His blessings is my prayer.